Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, Just One.
We continue in our study through Paul's letter to the Romans. We come to chapter 5, beginning at the 12th verse. Let's listen together to God's word to us. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. But law came in, and with the result that the trespass multiplied. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that just as sin exercised dominion in death, so grace might also exercise dominion through justification, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, this is the good news. Thanks be to God.
If you'll join me in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks once again for these moments that we get to share. We ask God for our hearts, our minds, every aspect of us to be open to receive the word that is for us this day. I ask God that the words of my mouth and that the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing in your sight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning, can I talk about the city of Carmel for you for just a few minutes? I'm sure it's a nice place to live, but I have one grievance against Carmel. There are too many roundabouts. Now, while for most folks, this is probably a good thing, for us southern folk down in Indianapolis, this can be just a little bit too much. You know, this past winter, I was cutting across 96th Street, and I think I must have hit 5 roundabouts in under 2 miles. And unfortunately, I was in a hurry, so each one of them slowed me down tremendously. Now, it's the same this morning with our scripture passage. Once again, we are asked to slow down as we have traveled this very well-worn road of the theme of the salvation of Jesus Christ. And in a sense, Paul, once again, as John and I have been preaching over the past few weeks, he wants us to understand salvation just one more time in this new way, or just to look at it from a different perspective, each time defining it and just narrowing it down more fully for us as well. Last week, John started us off in chapter 5, and this theme emerged, and that through Jesus Christ, we have access into the throne room of God. You know, if you'll remember in the Old Testament, there was a room in the temple, and it was called the Holy of Holies. And the high priest could enter there, but maybe once a year. And as he entered into that room, he would make atonement, ask forgiveness for the people and the nation's sin. And this place was sacred. It was holy. You know, if you were to ask anybody, where is the presence of God? People would say, it's at the temple, and it's in this one room called the Holy of Holies. And what Paul says is that in Jesus Christ, we now live in the Holy of Holies. We are enveloped in it. We have this access to a personal relationship with God. And as John rightly said as well, though, just because we live in the Holy of Holies, we live surrounded by God, doesn't mean that we won't have suffering or trials in life. Those are also guaranteed to you. But what is guaranteed also to us is that in the midst of those things, we can do so with great hope. So this morning in these verses, what we have is Paul breaking apart, breaking from his argument, and kind of stepping back, pulling back, and painting in very broad brushstrokes what exactly has happened in Jesus Christ and what exactly has happened to us. And so he contrasts the life of Adam and then also the life of Jesus Christ. And he says that Adam represents the consequences of sin. This is the situation we find ourselves in. This is the decay, and I like that word, the decay of genuine humanness. And this is the place where we find ourselves, and this results ultimately in death. He speaks of Adam as the trespass, a power that has worked its way into every crevice of the world, but has impacted us in a very negative way. Whatever freedom was entrusted or endowed to us is now lost as we are enslaved. You know, for Paul doesn't believe that there are good people who do bad things. He believes that there are flawed people who show their state of flawness by the specifics of their sin. But that's not the whole story. Because God also made a covenant with us that in this state of ruin, God would still be faithful to put everything, and I mean everything, in the right. And so Paul speaks about the gift that is given. And the gift is Jesus Christ, given to anyone who follows after Jesus. But the amazing thing here is that what Paul says about the gift is really unique. You see, Paul doesn't believe that in this state of Adam, in the representative of who Adam is, that somehow all God is going to do is clean us up, put a Band-Aid over that festering wound, and then just kind of send us onward and, you know, in this old state, but just kind of a little bit better. Paul believes that because of Jesus Christ, the Adam, that representative of who Adam is, dies, completely goes away, and something new rises. And Paul, and I can already hear you say it, Paul calls that the new creation. That is what we are. We are new creations. We are loosed into the world, and we are given something unique to do. Now, this powerful thing that happens to us is because of grace. Now, the word grace is one of those words that if you Google it, or if you go on a dictionary, you're going to be able to find a one-sentence definition. But I guarantee you, if you think about it, that's not what grace is. Grace is much more than one sentence. You know it because you can feel it. There is something about grace. So I can't define it completely, but I know it when I see it. So this morning, I want to talk about three models of grace because this is how we become the new creation. We become the new creation by the gift of grace. And so I want to talk about three models of how we understand it. Now, mind you, each one of these models, none of them are wrong. They're all just different places where we find ourselves. And so I want to invite John to help me out this morning. And I have a softball in my hand. I should have chosen a basketball, but this is going to hurt more. So the first model of grace is the one where it just hits you. And that's it. This is the kind of grace that says you are loved, you are accepted, you are forgiven. And when it hits you, it's amazing. You truly feel like something has changed. You feel your life is just different. You know, John felt the ball hit him. And that's how this grace is. The thing is that pastors over the centuries, and specifically Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer, has described this type of grace as cheap and also the lowest common denominator because it's powerless and it's useless to most people. You see, this feel-good grace serves a purpose, but it has no power over sin. Because in this grace, I know that my sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ, and all I need to do from time to time is just make sure that I ask for forgiveness and just get hit by grace once again. This type of grace will never ask you to pick up anything more. It'll just say, you're loved, you're forgiven, you're accepted. And it just hits you. And it's always around. You see it. But that's it. And this is one model of grace. The second model of grace that we have is the one where we catch it. And we hold on to it. Now, this model of grace is very much like that first one. You know that you're loved, you know that you're accepted, you know that you're forgiven, but you also begin to realize that grace has real power over sin. Your sins grieve you because you recognize that grace was not given to you cheaply. It cost God greatly. It cost God his son. And so you follow after God in the same way that Jesus followed God, with faithfulness and obedience, even obedience to death on a cross. And this grace also has substance because it's constantly in your hands. It reminds you that you are saved out of love. And because it's in your hands, you're also very thankful for it. This is the type of grace also where you grasp and you begin to enjoy the benefits that grace gives to you. You look back at your life and you understand that you are becoming a new creation. And so in true humility, you can say, you know, the person that I was last year is very different from the person I am this year. I'm growing. I'm becoming more like Jesus every year. And this grace also makes you aware that there is a world beyond you. But you know that the world out there is dark. There's a darkness out there. It's what the Apostle John writes about, Disciple John writes about. There's a darkness out in the world, and there's the light of Jesus Christ. Ironically, though, while you hold on to this grace, this is also a time where many people begin to retreat. And they find themselves more closed off and more exclusive. Before you know it, you don't really have any people in your life that are sinners. And before you know it as well, all the people that at one time were close to you are just no longer there. This is the type of grace also where people can become more judgmental of other Christians. So they'll say things such as, that freedom that they are enjoying is just a little bit too much freedom, if you know what I mean. And there's an awareness, if we're not careful, that this grace can actually lead us towards legalism. This is the grace also where you're intentional about growing in your faith. You go to Bible studies, you go to church, you start to serve. This is not a bad place to be. And I would say, and honestly, in all candidness, this is where I live. And this is probably where a good majority of people live as well. But there's one more model that Paul describes for us. And it's very different. You know, we understand gifts as things that I want and things that I need. And this is how we give gifts in our culture, right? There are things that I'm going to use for myself. But that's not how God uses gifts. In the economy of God, gifts are actually things that go back and forth. And this is how grace works. God gives me the benefits of grace, and I return them to God. And God once again returns benefits to me, and I return them back to God. I now have grace. I give it to another. They give it to someone else. They give it back to John. Gives it back to me. You can sit down now, John. Give him a clap. Now, this is the grace that is also not just hits you. You're still loved, you're still accepted, you're still forgiven. It's not just something you hold on to. But this is a grace that understands that you are saved for a covenant purpose. You are saved as a new creation that has been set loose in the world. And you know that there is a power behind the gift. This is abundant. This is life transforming. And what it does, though, is really interesting. You know, when we hold on to grace, we're always just looking at it. But in this model, what we do is we look up and we begin to focus outward. Because we notice that there is a darkness in the world. But because I am the new creation, I am asked to step into the darkness because I am necessary so that the light of Jesus Christ may shine in the world. You know, church, we can preach a message, and I'll admit, as pastors, where we preach about how rotten or how wicked or how sinful we are. And that's part of the truth, but it's not the complete truth. Because the truth is, if we keep living in defeat, we will be defeated people. That is not your role in this world. You are called to be a new creation. You have been endowed with the power of grace. And so we now step into the world with a purpose. It's at this level of grace where people do things that are just a little bit weird. They live in neighborhoods that are way below their means, but they do so because they believe that there is a purpose in their life and in their mission. At this stage in faith and grace, what people do is they use their finances in very unique and different ways because they know that it is not just, I'm saved, so I'm safe, but rather they think to themselves, how do I give this to someone else and how does it come back to me? This is what Paul is starting to talk about. And in the next few weeks, this is what we'll continue to unpack. How does this grace work in our lives? You know, this morning, the question I have for you, though, is where are you in these models of grace? Remember what I said, none of these are bad, and none of them is one better than the other, I guess. But there is this level where we are growing into the people that God wants us to be. And so I invite you this morning to close your eyes with me and ask yourself, and really the Spirit is asking us, where am I in my understanding of grace? And Paul says this wonderful thing. The way we grow, the way that we expand in our knowledge of it, and we experience it deeply, it's through the Holy Spirit. And so I'd like to pray for you right now. Holy Spirit, we ask you that you would not only open our eyes and our hearts, but that you would knock at the door of our hearts. And for some of us, you have to bang the door. And we want to open that door and allow you to come into our dwelling place. And God, that you would organize, recenter everything about us, God. Lord, if our understanding of grace is at a very small level, then Lord, challenge us to grow. Lord, continue to help us to experience the fullness of the gift of Jesus Christ in our lives. Lord, we are not asking for the impossible. We are asking for that which is ours in Christ Jesus. And so, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Show us. Guide us and continue to grow us, Spirit. Spirit, please speak to us in these moments, we pray.